Good. So can you repeat? Allahuva. From Russia is the highest cry. Yeah. Thank you so much. Dear friends, how wonderful evening we had yesterday. Isn't it? I don't have any word to explain how it was my feeling yesterday evening. So from yesterday, if somebody says that unity of the world is impossible or is utopia, now it's impossible to say is impossible. So here in this gathering, we have the unity of the world. And thank you that you came here and to testimony this unity. Thank you so much. And really, I want, without crying, I promise to somebody of you that this year I didn't cry, but my sincere feeling of yesterday was that I fall in love with all of you. And thank you for what and how you are. So now there is a brief announcement, because we have some of the member of the logistic committee that is quite stressed by this color paper. So you know this is Sarah. she asked me to invite everybody of you, please give back this color paper to your tutor, and so they can collect and use for all the week, because some of this color paper there are somewhere. And another thing that everybody, because there were some seminar, there were only 5 people and some 10 people. So please go in the seminar that you have the exact color of that seminar. So don't change the colors of the paper. And the tutor must be sure that you can come in the seminar with your exact color. I think yesterday maybe there was some mistake because of my explanation in English. But today is, I think, more clear, isn't it? Okay? Okay. So now I have the pleasure to invite our dear, dear Mr. Nahjavani here.
Permission also, I would like to sit down if you don't mind today. Is that all right with you? I can still see you, because if I don't see you, I cannot speak. You give me strength, you give me courage, you know. So I can see you from here. Don't get old like me. When you are 85, I hope you'll be much stronger. I want to request one thing from all of you. I'm sure this request has been made before, But I really expect you to read the material before coming here, especially the day before, so that you are familiar with what is going to be discussed. There will be no time for us to read the material here. Also, the material is this year from the material last year. The material this year has a lot of statistics, names, facts, and figures. And these are recorded here for your benefit. But we don't have to discuss them. We don't have to read them. We don't have to present them. You have them. And the points that I present to you during these morning sessions are points that underline some of the points that are included in the material you have before you, or give further explanation, or give a different angle to the same subject. So that is why I am presenting these subjects. Otherwise, you have them in print, you have them, you can keep them, and so on. The second point is that this material is not complete. It is raw. It was put together in great haste because of our own travels, our limited time, the limited facilities that I have in terms of people to help me in typing and in putting documents together and so on. And the limited facility, the limited time that these helpers have. They cannot be all the time in Molsheim in France with us. So this needs a lot of improvement. The way it has been done now is okay for your purposes, but we hope that in a few months from now we will be able to improve on this material, add more material to it, and then maybe some consideration would be given to using it more widely. Today we will start with section number one, which has to do with the two basic themes. The two basic themes of the guardianship. The two basic themes of the guardianship we understood not at the time of the guardianship as he was developing it. It came to our understanding in simple language is teaching and administration. That's what it is. And it is the two themes that now in every Baha'i community we struggle with these two themes. We work with these two themes. Whether you are in local assembly or you have a large community or a small community, Wherever we are always thinking about these two things, teaching, administration. In fact, there is a letter from Shoghi Effendi in which he says it is not good for Baha'is to be working only in one area. For example, only administration. It's not good. Or only teaching, doing no administration at all. He says you have to be a balanced Baha'i, you have to do both. You have to engage in administrative work as well as engage in the teaching work. Many of us are so absorbed in the administrative work. We love the administrative work indeed so much. We think that the administration is the faith itself. And we forget about teaching. And most of the problems that we have in the Baha'i community today, I can assure you, is just that. We love the administration. We love it. The administration is essential, there's no doubt. But it is not the faith. The faith has two wings, administration and teaching. With one wing, we cannot really fly. We have to have both. So when we look at the guardianship, you see the same thing. Now, how did he explain this to us? He explained it to us very gradually. Among the things that he said was that we have three charters. Now, what is a charter? A charter is a decree given by a king or a source of authority transmitting or conveying certain rights to the people. That is a charter. The Magna Charta, for example. All right. Or the Charter of United Nations. So now, Shoghi Effendi said we have three important charters. And these charters were binding on him as guardian. The Tablet of Carmel, revealed by Baha'u'llah. The Tablet of Carmel you will find in about three pages. It's not a very long tablet. You find it in gleanings from the writings of Baha'u'llah. And you also find it in the volume Tablets of Baha'u'llah Revealed After the Kitab-e-Aqdas. It is the very first chapter, Tablet of Carmel. At a later session, I will be discussing with you the Tablet of Carmel a little bit more deeply and more thoroughly. But this was one of his charters. This charter he described as the charter which had to do with the development of the World Center. That Mount Carmel would become the place where the Shrine of the Bab will have to be erected, the remains of the Bab will have to be interred, and his shrine to be constructed. And to be a point of spirituality, of devotion, of pilgrimage, and of reverence. But that was not only this. This was one aspect of the Tablet of Carmel. The other was the fact that it also refers to this administrative center, not only the spiritual center, which is the shrine, but also the administrative center. And that is towards the end of the tablet when he refers to the Ark of God sailing on that mountain. He considered this tablet to be his authority to go ahead and build up the administrative order one mouth come. The second charter was the will and testament of Abdu'l-Bahá. And he said this charter revealed by Abdu'l-Bahá was the authority given, conveyed, in order to build up the administrative order of the faith. I told you yesterday that there were certain rudimentary signs during the heroic age of the faith which pointed to the fact that there was going to be an administrative order. But this administrative order was formally conceived and came into being only after the passing of Abdu'l-Bahá. And this administrative order was based on the contents and provisions of the will and testament of Abdu'l-Bahá. We considered, and I'm putting myself among the Baha'is who were reading the will and testament over and over again during the period, during the ministry of Shoghi Effendi, we really did not understand the will and testament, just as we did not understand the tablet of Carmel. We thought the will and testament of Abdu'l-Bahá is a document which appoints Shoghi Effendi as a successor. Fine. And it says a few things about the teaching work and about protection and things like that. That was all. We never thought of it as such a major document as Shoghi Effendi later described. This wonderful, wonderful statement made by Abdu'l-Bahá that he left to posterity before he passed away. So that was the second charter. And the third charter was something that we never dreamt that this would suddenly have the title of a charter. And these were the 14 tablets of Abdu'l-Bahá addressed to the North American Baha'is. I don't remember a single class in Iran devoted to the study of the tablets of the divine plan, because we didn't understand the importance of these tablets. We considered, for example, in the East, generally speaking, we considered that these tablets were kind of directives given by Abdu'l-Bahá to North America for the things that they had to do. We in the East had other tablets from Abdu'l-Bahá telling us what we have to do. That's for them, all right. We didn't really worry about them, think about them, or we didn't consider that they were applicable to us or to any other community in the East. But comes Shoghi Effendi, he says, this is our third charter, and it's the third charter of the Baha'i world. And this is a charter by Abdu'l-Bahá for the conquest, for the spiritual conquest of the planet. And this is the decree for teaching. This is the decree for pioneering. This is the decree for opening the virgin territories of the world. So that's how Shoghi Effendi, one of the things about the guardianship, when we say he is an interpreter, it is not that what is the meaning of this sentence written by Baha'u'llah, please interpret it for us. This is a very narrow way of understanding the meaning of interpretation. Shoghi Effendi opened up vistas before us. He opened up new avenues. Yes?
The microphone again. It's kind of disturbed. There is something inside.
Ah.
If you can put this
one?
Better.
The Italian microphone are independent microphones, so they have some. They work by themselves, so it's not. They don't have any discipline, but we try to.
Okay, try.
Yeah. Now, one of my problems is that I forget what I was saying. What was I saying? Where was I?
Tablets of the Divine Plan being called a charter.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. So these tablets he called the charter for the spiritual conquest of the planet, for the propagation of the faith throughout the world. And I don't know whether I put it in our notes here or not. He gave categories. He looked at the Baha'i world and he said the chief executors of this charter are the American Baha'i community, the U.S. Baha'i community. Their allies is the Baha'i community in Canada. Their associates are the Baha'i communities throughout the Western Hemisphere, the other communities in the Western Hemisphere. And the rest of the world, we are all participants in this worldwide effort. So it applies to all of us. But they have the kind of position of being the first recipients and the chief executors of this charter. But this applies to all of us. We have a duty. In fact, Shoghi Effendi, in one of his letters, referring to the teaching work in North America, told them, "Dear friends, if you don't arise, then God will choose another people to carry out these instructions that Abdu'l-Bahá has given. Because these instructions will be carried out anyway. If you don't do it, others will do it." And this is published. You can find the reference. If you can't find the reference, I'll give it to you. So this is the way that Shoghi Effendi, in other words, he considered these tablets of the Divine Plan applicable to everybody. If Mr. X cannot do it, if Ms. X cannot do it, if Mrs. X cannot do it, then Mr. Y and Mrs. Y and Miss Y will do it. It has to be done. It is the will of Baha'u'llah. It is the plan of Baha'u'llah. Now, these tablets were revealed during a period of nearly 1 year, from 1916 to 1917, from March of that year to March of this 1917. Gradually, some were revealed in Bahji, some were revealed in Akka, in the house of Abud. Some were revealed in Haifa, some near the master's house in Haifa, and some near the shrine of the Bab. These are the tablets that we have before us. There is a book, there is a booklet called Tablets of the Divine Plan, and you can buy that book. The Americans have published it. And the Will and Testament of Abdu'l-Bahá is also published, and you can, I'm sure it has been translated into many, many languages. Now, what is the importance of 1916 and 1917? was during the World War, and Abdu'l-Bahá was confined to the Holy Land. And it was during that time, which coincided with the first centenary of the birth of Baha'u'llah. Baha'u'llah was born in the year 1817. And here we see Abdu'l-Bahá, the center of his covenant, starting almost 1 year ahead and revealing these tablets for the spiritual conquest of humanity. In other words, he celebrated the 100th anniversary of the birthday of Baha'u'llah by revealing these tablets. Now, I want you to imagine a little bit, think about the future. We are now in the year 2005. In 12 years from this year, it will be the year 2017. Therefore, in 12 years, we will be approaching, we will be arriving at the year which will be the second centenary of the birthday of the Supreme Manifestation of God. 2017, 12 years from today. You can well imagine what will happen in the Baha'i world. We can well imagine what the Universal House of Justice will do, what statements they will issue, calling on the Baha'is of the world to celebrate at once the birthday of Baha'u'llah, as well as the revelation, the first centenary of the revelation of the tablets of the divine plan. If I may just take a few minutes and say, after 2017, there is another date, 2019. And that will be the second centenary of the birth of the Bab, 2019. He was born 1819. You can well imagine what will happen then. Again, stretching our imagination, we can think, just another 2 years later will be 2021. It will be the 100th anniversary of the passing of Abdu'l-Bahá. It will also be the 100th anniversary of the revelation of the Will and Testament of Abdu'l-Bahá. It will also be the 100th anniversary of the inception of the formative age of our faith. 2021. So 12 years from now, 14 years from now, 16 years from now. I don't think I will be with you. I hope Violette will. But I'm sure all of you will. And you will remember this day. And you will be participants in this worldwide Baha'i activity and celebration. And that you will certainly be among the, not only the participants, but possibly, definitely, I hope, the leaders, the organizers, the administrators of the Baha'i community at that time, and that you will have left before you many, many good and fruitful years of humble service at the threshold of Baha'u'llah. Now, if you look at your list, you'll see that in the tablets of the divine plan. Later on, when the tablets of the divine plan will be discussed, you will see that there are 120 countries that Abdu'l-Bahá has named. But today, the faith of Baha'u'llah is established in more than 120 countries. It is established in over 260 countries and major islands and territories of the world. I will discuss this with you a little bit later. Now, I have pointed out in my notes here that there were many things that the Baha'i world did not understand. As I told you, we didn't understand the Tablet of Carmel. We certainly never understood that the Ark of God mentioned in the Tablet of Carmel was a reference to the Universal House of Justice. This was revealed to us by Shoghi Effendi. That the people of Baha mentioned in the Tablet of Carmel that these were members of the Universal House of Justice. And this, at the beginning, it was in his pilgrim's notes. And towards the end of his life, he wrote it. He wrote it in a letter to the Persian Baha'is, to the Baha'is of the East. And he officially went on record giving his understanding or his interpretation of the meaning of the Ark and the meaning of the people of Baha as stated and specified in the Tablet of Carmel. We didn't understand the word Nazm that Baha'u'llah refers to in the Kitab-e-Aqdas. I made this point in last year's notes, and I've made some reference to it in this year's notes as well, that this word Nazm means order. We thought that this meant the literary style of the Kitab-e-Aqdas. This is how our best scholars in Iran understood it. Our best scholars, I attended some of their classes, they taught us these things. And when Shoghi Effendi's translation came up, something else. Nothing to do with the literary style of the Kitab-e-Aqdas. He was referring to the order, the administrative order, to become the future world order of the faith. So these things we did not understand. Now, another thing that you find clearly stated by Shoghi Effendi in God Passes By, in his forward to God Passes By. He shows what he was doing. He said that he refers to the writings of the Bab, how severe they were, how revolutionary they were. Then he refers to the writings of Baha'u'llah, how liberal Baha'u'llah was in liberalizing the laws of the Bayan. Then he refers to the ministry of Abdu'l-Bahá and the way Abdu'l-Bahá expounded and opened up the revelation of Baha'u'llah and pointed to us the principles, the basic principles, humanitarian, social, and spiritual principles of the faith. And then he refers to his own ministry. He says his own ministry was to systematize the teachings and to apply them to individuals and to institutions. That's how he defines his own ministry or his own responsibilities. He also, we see that Abdu'l-Bahá was trying to tell the friends that after him there will be the formative age. He never used the term formative age. But he made it clear that the life of the Baha'i community is going to change. He did not use also the term heroic age. These terms came into being in the writings of Shoghi Effendi. This was part of his systematization. The charts that we presented yesterday about cycles, dispensations, ages, epochs, and some phases of epochs as well. These terms, this type of thinking, this was Shoghi Effendi. He was orderly. He was systematic. And he wanted us to become systematic. How did Abdu'l-Bahá express it? He said, my time, my ministry is a wedding party. What happens in a wedding party? I'm sure you have attended many wedding parties. You do what you like, as you like, when you like. It is open. You go and have your some food here, you say some coffee there, you talk to this person, to talk to that person. Everybody is happy, everybody is enjoying the time and the place. So Abdu'l-Bahá says, my time, it's a wedding party. It's a wedding day. That's what you are doing now. But after me, finita la musica. After me, there is no party. There is business. We have to settle down. After the wedding, everybody goes home, everybody has their own ordered life. The bride and bridegroom also have to have their ordered and organized life. That's how he used to tell the friends, so that they know that after him, things will change. And that there's going to be a new age, which Shoghi Effendi told us was the formative age. Now on page 11, I tried to explain to you what I consider to be the essential features of any plan. The reason why I tried to point out these 6 points of every teaching plan, there's nothing definite about these 6. If you were writing these notes, possibly you could condense them into 5 points. You could even think of 7 points instead of 6 points. This is just my own way of looking at it. The reason why I did it this way is because later on, at the end of this section, I point out to all of us that the ideal day is the day when every National Assembly will have a plan, a teaching plan. Every local spiritual assembly will have its own teaching plan. Maybe some of you are members of local spiritual assemblies. Ask yourselves, is your local assembly, does it have a teaching plan? You find in the writings of the House of Justice the anticipation that every local assembly might have its own teaching plan under the shadow, under the umbrella of the teaching plan of the National Spiritual Assembly. And that national plan is under the shadow of an umbrella of the world plan, which is given to the Baha'i world by the Universal House of Justice. So you have the overall plan today, the 5-year plan. And then each National Assembly has its own plan under that shadow, that umbrella. And then When the country has its own goals defined and its own methods defined, then every local assembly has its own plan. This is the way it is to be, ideal way that the House of Justice is hoping. But then the House of Justice even goes further. And he says how wonderful it will be when every individual Baha'i will also have a plan. That means if we are here 93 people or 95 Baha'is, that each one of us will have a teaching plan, a plan of our Baha'i service for ourselves, formulated by ourselves, to be under the umbrella, the general umbrella of the local, the national, and the international. This is how the House of Justice visualizes this Baha'i world. And see how far we are from the ideal goal. So it is in this spirit that I said to myself, okay, because this is a novel idea to have a plan for ourselves, so what are the ingredients, the essential ingredients of a plan? So I looked at the work of Shoghi Effendi to see how he did things. And I tried to extract from the letters of Shoghi Effendi, the policies that he adopted, the methods that he encouraged us to follow, and tried to work out this system in a way that you may like, you may disagree with, you may try to improvise it. You have to certainly apply it to the individual, because this is not for the individual. I wrote this down with the idea that it is a teaching plan for an institution. But then from this, you can take points that would be useful for you in having an individual plan. And what a wonderful day we will have when the entire Baha'i world, if we are 6 million Baha'is, we have 6 million individual plans of activity, of service to Baha'u'llah. What an uplifting spectacle that would be. I think I have covered enough points in section number one. And now, how much time do we have? 15 more. We can move now to the second section, which is the tablets of the divine plan. I left off by telling you that the number of territories mentioned by Abdu'l-Bahá is 120. Now, it is very interesting that in this list that you find on page 4 of section 2, there are a number of names that you will not recognize in the geography of today. But these names were current in the days of Abdu'l-Bahá, and that's why he uses those terms. For example, number 40 is Friendly Island. Now, Friendly Island is Togo Island today. That's how it is in the Pacific. For example, number 62, Tonga, T-O-N-G-A. It's near Samoa. It has its own king. Number 62 is the Low Archipelago. The name today is Tuamotu Islands, which is part of the French Polynesia. Number 99, for example, is Santo Domingo. The current name is the Dominican Republic in the Caribbean. So these are terms that Abdu'l-Bahá used at that time. Now, another interesting point about these this list is that he excludes a number of countries. He does not mention all the countries. For example, the U.S. itself is not mentioned because it's addressed to the U.S. He doesn't mention Canada, for example. It's addressed to the U.S. and Canada. But he, yes, another is Persia. Persia is not included. Egypt is not included. Iraq, not included. Syria, not included. Turkey, not included. Cyprus, not included. The interesting thing about Cyprus is that at that time there was a lot of Azali followers of Sophie Azal, Mirza Yahya, in Cyprus. And Abdu'l-Bahá, I'm just guessing this, Abdu'l-Bahá did not want the American believers now suddenly to go to Cyprus at that time. But of course, later on, when things changed, Shoghi Effendi put Cyprus in the 10-year plan. But at that time, I think out of wisdom, maybe Abdu'l-Bahá did not include Cyprus. But then you find also included some countries where there were Baha'is already. For example, he had visited already the British Isles. He had given many talks to the British to the friends and churches in the British Isles. Yet you find that the British Isles has been included because he wanted the American believers also to go there. France. Violette was telling us yesterday that the first Baha'i Center in Europe was in France, was in Paris. There were Baha'is in Paris. The first believer, Hippolyte Dreyfus, was already there. There was a local community there. Yet he includes France in his list. Germany has also been included. He had visited Germany. There were Baha'is. He knew there were Baha'is in Stuttgart and in other parts of Germany. But he includes that. India. For heaven's sake, India, he had sent, he had correspondence with the Baha'is in India. He had sent teachers there to India. And in the most wonderful thing is he mentions Russia in two entries, Russia Asia and Russia Europe. And Russia Asia, he had already the temple there. The Ashgabat temple was already there. Yet he includes it as part of the areas that should be of direct concern to the American Baha'is, to go there, to help there, and so on. So these are some of the things that, comments that you can will come across as you look at this list. Now, there are, when you come to section, to page number 5, of this section, there is some, I don't know how it is, I don't know the copies that Noemi has given to you and the copy that I have, whether they are exactly the same or not. But the copy that I have shows on page 5, paragraph, full paragraph 2, beginning with the words, "These gems of divine guidance." Do you follow? Are you there? All right. It says Roman 1, Roman 2, Roman 3. Is that how it is? You have it? Now, this has to be changed because in the table of contents that you have, you see that, where is the table of contents? The table of contents right? At the beginning, have they been given the table of contents? Yeah, the table of contents. You look under item number 2, which is the tablets of the divine plan. You see, there is no Roman 1, Roman 2. It is A, B, C, D. So you have to change Roman 1 to A, Roman 2 to B, so that it will agree with your table of contents. And then you have to add, after you come to H, which is number 8, Roman 8, it will become H. Then you have to add another item, which is I, that you find in your table of contents, I, which is prayers. And then when you please go back to your table of contents and make a correction there as well. Under number I, it is prayer. It should be prayers with the plural S. These are typographical errors. This shows you how rough these notes are. They are not in any form shareable and usable in an official way. They are just notes put together in great haste in order to help you in following what we are trying to discuss together. Now, when you look at the salient points in the tablets of the divine plan, I have tried, as you see, from A to I, under 9 headings, to tell you what are the contents of these 14 tablets. And I, from the many points that you find extracted here for you, I have chosen a few that I think are very important. All of them are important, but some, in my view, have special importance. And I would like to comment on some of these points. I'll see how much time we have, and then we can do it after the break. When you look again at these lists, you see that there is a little bit of overlapping. In other words, when he's talking about the teaching work, he may refer to some spiritual qualities that one must have when teaching the faith. But then when it comes to number F, which is the original 6, Roman 6, you have the individual in the community. There is also the individual there. So there is overlapping in some of the points that have been extracted. So this is why you shouldn't be worried about that. This is an attempt to put together something for you to have a general idea of how these tablets have been revealed and what their contents are. So after the break, I will try and pick up a number of points from these different headings that we have and try to give you further thoughts, further elaborations on the importance of some of these points that Abdul Baha has mentioned. I think we'll now have a break.
I trust to this microphone. Thank you very much, Mr. Nakhchavani. Some minutes before our break, I want to invite Romania here on the stage because they prepared a few minutes of some presentation of Romania. So,
Ukraine was forgotten.
Ukraine, no, we didn't forget because the luggage has lost, and in this luggage there is something for us. So, you know, tomorrow, after tomorrow, we have also Ukraine. So, please, Romania.
Dear friends, these are a few selections from the journal of Queen Marie. Assuming you all know who Queen Marie was. Any hands? Hands, who doesn't? I see a hand in the back. Okay, so these are just a few selections from her journal after she received the teachings of Baha'u'llah from Martha Root. A woman brought me the other day a book. I spell it with a capital letter because it is a glorious book of loving goodness, strength and beauty. It is Christ's message taken up anew in the same words but adapted to the 1,000 years and more difference that lies between the year one and today. No man could fail to be better for this book. I commend it to you all. If ever the name of Baha'u'llah or Abdul Baha comes to your attention, do not put their writings from you. Search out their books and let their glorious peace-bringing, love-creating words and lessons sink into your hearts as they have into mine. The beautiful truth of Baha'u'llah is with me always, a help and inspiration. Indeed, a great light came to me with the message of Baha'u'llah and Abdul Baha. It came as all great messages came at an hour of dire grief and inner conflict and distress. So the seed sank deeply. We pass on the message from mouth to mouth, and all those we give it to see a light suddenly lighting before them, and much that was obscure and perplexing becomes simple, luminous, and full of hope as never before. With bowed head I recognize that I too am but an instrument in greater hands, and rejoice in this knowledge. God is therefore happiness. His is the voice within us that shows us good and evil, but mostly we ignore or misunderstand this voice. Therefore did he choose his elect to come down amongst us upon the earth to make clear his word, his real meaning. Therefore the prophets, therefore Christ, Muhammad, Baha'u'llah, for man needs from time to time a voice upon earth to bring God to him, to sharpen the realization of the existence of the true God. Those voices sent to us had to become fresh, so that with our earthly ears we should be able to hear and understand. The ultimate dream we shall realize is that the Baha'i channel of thought has such strength, it will serve little by little to become a light to all those searching for the real expression of truth. Thank you.
As I sit and watch the snow falling down, I don't miss you at all. I hear children playing, laughing so